Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game, Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And the Predators are in action tonight, hosting the Los Angeles Kings at Bridgestone Arena. We are not at Bridgestone Arena today. TNT game tonight, so that means it's a 6:30 puck drop. Coverage, pregame coverage, starting on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, right at 5:30. That was a tough one on Monday night. You're up 3-0 in Ottawa, ultimately fall in overtime 4-3. That's one that I know stings. And that's one as a fan that you just look at it and think, how in the world? How do you blow a 3-goal lead like that? But you have an opportunity to redeem yourself before the All-Star break with the Kings tonight. Even though the Predators don't find themselves in a playoff spot right now, MoneyPuck.com still gives them a 43.7% chance of making the playoffs.
Well, it's probably up from last night because Seattle lost to San Jose. Now, you think it's painful to lose to Ottawa, who I think, honestly, is one of the more underachieving teams. That team is way more talented than a, quote, last-place team. They have underachieved. They thought they were going to be in the playoff mix. I think they are sneaky good. They don't have a very good goalie, but the goalie change seemed to help them the other night. But that's got to be water under the bridge now. They did get a point. But the money puck odds are up because San Jose upset St. Louis, or upset Seattle, who saw that coming. And Columbus knocked off the other team that's right in the mix, and that's the St. Louis Blues. So that probably upped the percentages a couple. But we're still early, I think, to be talking about playoff odds. It's much more of, you know, who in this group of teams can get to say, what do you think it's going to take? 94? 93 points? I don't think it's going to be 97 like it is some years. Mm-hmm. I think it's very balanced. I don't think any of those teams in the mix are really going to load up. Maybe Seattle takes a little bit more of a shot at it. I think they've got higher expectations than the Blues, the Predators. The Flames and the Wild, I think, are a little even more long shots right now. It's a really interesting field to kind of judge. The team the Predators are playing tonight is a really interesting team because everybody has them in the playoffs. What does Money Puck have the Kings right now?
Let's see.
Because they've played a few less games.
85.6.
See, that's considerably better than those other teams, right? And part of it is because they have underachieved, right? They have the same amount of points as the Predators and the Blues right now. They played some less games, but also everybody's wondering what's going on with them. I still think at the end of the marathon in 82 games, mm-hmm. they'll probably be one of the eight teams that's in. That other spot is completely up for grabs, and it's going to be the Predators, the Blues, the Kraken, maybe the Flames and the Wild. Those two are a little bit more on the outer part of the bubble, I think, right now. But so much can happen in 32 games. That's what everybody kind of has left.
We still have plenty of hockey that's left to play. And I think when we talk about the playoffs, that's twofold. It's not just getting into the playoffs. It's also what do you do at the trade deadline? How much do you let your chances at the playoffs dictate what you do? Are you a buyer? Are you a seller? Do you hold at the trade deadline? But joining us now to preview the game tonight and to answer that question is Chris Mason. C. Mace, appreciate you for stopping by and appreciate you for being flexible with us this week. Normally stops by at on Fridays at 11:30. See, Mace, what is so big about this game tonight in terms of the standings and in terms of kind of the vibe and the feeling going into the All-Star break?
Well, I just think you're playing, somebody you're directly competing with. They're in a little bit of a tough spot right now. The Kings have been. They got off to a wonderful start. Looked like they're just dominating. And, you know, that's the way it goes in over the course of an 82-game season. But it's a big game because the Predators got to sit on this one for 10 days or whatever it is until the next game after the break. And it's really, I heard you guys talk about trade deadline. You know, this team is part of dictating whether anything is done at the trade deadline to try to help bolster the lineup to get into the playoffs. Obviously, I think the big elephant in the room has been for most of the years secondary scoring, you know, maybe a more proven goal scorer that can consistently contribute some pucks in the net. But are you going to do that if you're a 9, 10, 7, 18, you're battling for that last wild card. I don't think, you know, Barry's going to want to mortgage the future. But if you're a team that has come deadline time, you're in a pretty solid, you know, footing in one of those playoff spots, then I think maybe you look to do something. Because, hey, you never know. If juice gets hot, and you know, we get some secondary scoring and the guys have improved a little bit since, you know, about a month or two ago, then maybe you look at doing something. But this game is really big to me because it's going to be every night. There's lots of hockey left, but I just think the further you get down and the further you fall behind, the tougher it is for sure, especially there's a lot of good teams that are fighting for those spots.
Yeah, so it's going to be a competitive wild card race, and that's a tough decision that Barry Trotz is going to have to make at the trade deadline. At what point do you consider, or maybe consider isn't the right word, because I think at any point anything can be on the table depending on what the price is. But if you were Barry Trotz, how would you approach Juuse Saros at the trade deadline?
I mean, obviously, I think he's one of the best goalies on the planet. I mean, I think he's proven that year in and year out with the consistency and the level of play. Obviously, this year probably isn't his best statistically, but still, I mean, if you put him on a contender, watch out. You know, there's a lot of teams out there that have the team, in quotations, but maybe they don't have the goaltending that, you know, can get them there. And I understand, you know, Vegas won last year with Aiden Hill, and that will happen from time to time. But if you look at Tampa's run, how instrumental, you know, Vasilevsky was in those runs, I think, you know, if a team, let's say LA, let's say New Jersey, one of those kind of teams that have the team but maybe not the goaltending, you know, that's a pretty big boost. So if I'm Barry Trotz, and this is me, I don't want to trade Juuse Saros, and I'm sure he doesn't either. I know he wants to get, you know, something long-term done, and you never want to trade, but you have to listen. You have to listen. You know, if there's a team that, you know, thinks that they have a window to win a Stanley Cup, which every organization does when they get to a certain point, and that's the missing piece, you know, you might be able to get a haul that you just can't say no to. So I think he has to, and I know he will, be very open-minded and listen to what people have to say. I mean, that phone call could be less than 5 seconds if people are just offering draft picks and, you know, not really anything that can help you now, or a player that's proven, especially the teams that will be offering draft picks will be teams that are, you know, some of the best teams in the league, and you're not going to get a low draft pick. It's probably going to be from, you know, 25 to 32 or whatever the situation is. So I think you got to listen, though. You know, I don't want to trade them, like I said, but, you know, it'd be silly not to listen if somebody wanted to throw everything at the Preds to get their missing piece.
Mace, what is it like? Let's give you the player perspective on two different things. Number one, let's look at L.A., who has got a lot of whispering going on. You know, they've been in a funk, and it's kind of like, do we fire the coach just to shake it up? You know, that's being kicked around there, right? And the more that they stay in the murkiness that they're in, the more that discussion gets a little bit louder. What's that like in a locker room?
It's tough because as much as players, and you guys know this too, as much as players and coaches say, hey, we're just focused on the game, and we're not listening to all that outside noise, everybody knows it's there. And it's almost like, you know, when you're in one of those situations and you lose a game, you look around and you go, oh, is anything going to happen and today, or is it going to be, you know, another loss? And, you know, you look back to, and some teams will say, hey, look at St. Louis. When they won 2018, everything, you know, they had a great team. They're underachieving. They fired Mike Yeo and, you know, brought in Berube and then, you know, won the Stanley Cup. So I think, you know, things like that. And you look at Edmonton. Well, they fired their coach, and all of a sudden, look at them now, you know, 16 in a row. So I think there's always those examples, but it's such a big decision. But having said that, doing that is a lot easier than moving a player. You know, it's tough to move contracts. It's tough to get the right fit, the right partner to match up. If you feel that, you know, you have a deficit in some area, you have someone that you don't feel is working out, it's an easy, not an easy way to go, but easier to let your coach go and bring in some new blood and to change the feeling around the organization than to move a player. So I think as good as he is in LA and as good as he's done, you know, maybe that's something they look at, but you know, it just depends how Granato's going to approach this and if he's going to be patient or if he's going to be finicky and panicky here. We'll have to see.
Mace, the All-Star break used to be a lot shorter when you played. They've got this bye week now, which I think has some pluses and minuses. I don't know if I'd want to be off for that long if I were a player. I'm sure not every player agrees on that, but that's what it is now. So you've got a sizable break coming up. So both teams are in that mode tonight. It's the last game before the break. What's the mental challenge with that, knowing that you're probably saying to yourself, man, I could use a break. My body's round out, especially if you're the Predators. And you and I have gone on this road trip, right? We've two long road trips sandwiched around one single home game. So this team has been in all four time zones over the last 2 weeks. They've been all over the place. And you've got one more game here, and it's a big, big game.
Yeah, I think this is it's a major mental challenge, I think, for both teams. Personally, the break, I think, is awesome now for guys, just health-wise, for teams to be able to let their players recover in the middle of the season. It's just crazy sometimes, the grind that they go through in certain stretches. And as you mentioned, the Preds are kind of on one of those stretches. But this game, I think, we just talked about the standings. We talked about fighting for that spot. LA is obviously a desperate team. Things aren't good right now in the Kings land. So this is such a huge game in so many facets, but it's also very challenging because, guys have plans. As soon as this game's over, they're probably going to finish packing. You probably just unpack your suitcase for a long road trip, and then you're going to pack another one for your, vacation or whatever you do during the break. So mentally, I think the focus is on the individual to constantly not let yourself get to tomorrow. And just be in today, and just don't even think about your vacation. And when you find yourself doing it, you have to shut those thoughts down immediately, because there's no way, I don't think, you can be at your best when you're, your mind is wandering, things like that. You're like, oh, I'm tired. I'm gonna get to recover. Oh, then you know what? You're tired. And then you're already starting to recover and your head's not completely in the game. So it is a major tough game in terms of focus. That's why I think the start is so important. And for this team, I don't worry about it too much for the effort, because they seem to bring it every time, every single night, whether they're playing well or not. But this team is a team that now has different standards, objectives, not just good enough to go out there and work hard. They need to be focused. And the margin for error right now, because they're not scoring a lot of goals, is small. And they've given up leads. And, they've had, it's been kind of up and down, had trouble starting games. They finished strong. They started well last game against Ottawa. Terrible second period, maybe a little bit of a lack of focus in there. So I think focus is absolutely paramount for this team tonight.
We're talking to Chris Mason. Mace and I are off tonight in terms of the Bally. It is TNT tonight, which means it's an earlier start time. So 6:30 for the opening faceoff. If you're going down to Smashville tonight, and please do, it's a big game. Last one before the break. And, of course, we've got the coverage here on 102.5 The Game starting at 5:30 with Max Hurst. So, Mace, this is something I thought of here. If you think of the first matchup between the Predators and the Kings, the guys that put Nashville over the top were the top line. O'Reilly, Forsberg, Nyquist had a great game, and it was a tight one, and it was just enough offense, but they provided it. And you flip the coin, you just mentioned the Ottawa game. That line didn't play very well, and that was one of the rare nights where they got badly outplayed. But it got me thinking, too. We have come to talk about that top line as so important, deservedly so. They have played great as a trio. But, when it doesn't go well, you're thinking, are we asking too much of that trio, right? Is Gus Nyquist really a first-liner, or is he just big-time overachieved? And what does that mean for the last 32 games here? Same thing with Ryan O'Reilly. He's been a legit number one center for this team, but he needs some help, right? It can't just be him. He's probably, in a perfect world, your number two center, right, on what they want to build here. But in the meantime, if you can take some pressure off him, that would be huge. Like, Philip Forsberg is legit number one line man. We know that. But I think what happens with that first line and the second line, which has really been an enigma. Who is the second line? We don't really know. Guys are either playing too high, or the guys that are supposed to be there haven't matured into that role yet. So to me, that's what Andrew Brunette's really got to try to figure out.
Yeah, exactly right. It's the second and third line, however you want to decide who that is. I think Colton Sissons alone, put him aside, because I think he's had a tremendous year. He's been consistent offensively. He's not here for offense, but when you have a team built the way it is right now, you're going to need some consistent contributions from those lines. I think the fourth line does a really good job depending who's on it, but right now, you know, McCarron and Tomasino and Cole Smith go out there and they do what they do. Tomasino is playing really well. He might be a guy that they look at to give a little promotion here and move up to one of those lines the way he's playing. But you just don't have enough consistent offense to take that pressure off the top line. You know, I think, and we've talked about this all the time, but before Tommy Novak got hurt, the line of him, Evangelista, and Kiefer Sherwood, they were given that. They were providing that. And that's kind of when they started turning the season around. I think after the 5-10 start, that line started to get going and the top line got going, and then it became a real tough team to play against. But now if you're an opponent right now, you just say, hey, okay, guys, you know, just let's shut down that top line and we're going to like our chances, because they don't have a lot of scoring throughout the rest of the lineup. Yes, Evangelista's had some great stretches. You can see the talent there. Novak, same thing. He's right there, but at the end of the day, you gotta get the job done and put pucks in the net and get offense when you get those chances, because they're doing a good job of creating chances. But you know, in the NHL, you gotta finish, and finish is the key right now. Trennan, he's had some good stretches, but he's also had some really long droughts. And you know, again, when you don't have that, and let's say the power play is not going great, like right now, that's where the secondary scoring can step up and you know, helps you collect more points. But that's definitely, to me, that's the glaring, spot that the Predators have tried to address with different line combinations, but just haven't been able to figure out, consistently enough. And, you know, obviously at the deadline, if they do put themselves in a position for those wild card spots, that's probably the area that you look at.
Chris Mason is with us, Preds in Action tonight, hosting the Kings. Puck drop at 6:30 on TNT. Last one from me, C. Mace. You know, the big priority within this organization, not this season, but the 3-5-10-year plan, is invest in the young guys, and that young core will ideally develop into your core of the future. I'm not saying this time is now, but at what point do you start to pivot to give the young guys more opportunity, maybe call more guys up from Milwaukee to kind of throw them out there, let's see what you got, and also understanding that on the other side, that might equal losses, but maybe you have a better opportunity to evaluate some of these young players who could potentially be part of your core moving forward.
Yeah, that's a great point, Caroline, because I think, you know, coming down to the deadline, I think that's when you're going to see it. And you got guys down there, I mean, they're having an unbelievable season. I mean, they've got a lot of young players that are big parts of that team, a lot of first-round guys, high prospects for the Predators, having really good seasons. Igor Afanasyev, who's been in the organization for a few years, he seems like he's taken the next step in progression in his career. He's lighting it up down there. And Joachim Kemmel, I think is probably the purest goal scorer in the organization. Svechkov's having an unbelievable year. I mean, there's a lot of guys, you know, that are really doing well that, you know, probably if you're looking at the situation up here, deserve an opportunity, or you could look at one of these guys going down the stretch. But I think, you know, getting closer to trade deadline time, or if there's some injuries that maybe force that hand a little more, I think Trotz will be patient with that. But I think that's what this break is going to be used for, is to evaluate after this game. Everyone's going to sit back and they're going to evaluate, okay, where are we right now in terms of going through everybody on the roster, you know, different kind of things you want to identify, potential outcomes, plan A, B, and C, depending on how the team performs going up to the trade deadline. I think this break will be big in terms of kind of figuring out what paths the Preds want to take in regard to maybe seeing some of those younger players.
Honestly, I think that's something the fans could be on board with. You talk about youth movement, let's see them. Let's see some of these young guys.
There's a lot of buzz about what Milwaukee's doing. They've won 11 in a row, and it's been exciting. I know all the Predator fans, the diehards, they're keeping tabs on how well they're doing. So just to shake it up, give them a look. It's not the whole team coming up, but you know, one or two, just sprinkling in. Barry Trotz has theorized that, hey, maybe if they may not be able to carry the team for the last 30 games, but if they can just give them a spark for 5 or 10 games, that might mean something.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. You look at a player too, and maybe he's having an unreal year, Milwaukee, but maybe maturity level, he's not ready to come up. You want that kid to go down there and just keep dominating, you know, just keep doing what he's doing, playing every situation. But I mean, there comes a point where you say, all right, you know what, we're going to take him. Let's look at this kid for 5, 6, 7 games, see what he can do, you know. And then if he comes up and maybe it's a little bit too much too soon for him, you can always just send him down. You just have to clear waivers and try another prospect. So I think there's a lot of guys actually playing on Milwaukee, you know, that you could look at and give opportunities to in the second half if things don't go, or even if, you know, things don't change in the scoring situation for the Predators. They've got some guys, and one guy at a time isn't a bad plan, but it will be interesting to see, because they're definitely making a case for it down there.
Absolutely. C. Mace, Chris Mason, appreciate you for stopping by. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
I appreciate it. C. Mace, he is the very best. Preds in action tonight, hosting the Kings. Puck drop at 6:30. A little bit of an early start time because the broadcast is on TNT tonight. All right, coming up next, I want to react to what C. Mace had to say there. Let's talk trade deadline. We'll do that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.